Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Yeah. You said over some really fascinating material today.
Yeah, it's great stuff.
Our mission is to really get to grips with Alfred Russel Wallace, his groundbreaking work, especially how it fits alongside Darwin and, you know, natural selection.
Absolutely.
We've got his letters, his reflections, plus some modern science takes. A lot to explore just for you.
And it's striking, isn't it, when you think about Westminster Abbey.
Oh, yeah.
Newton and Darwin are practically side by side, and Wallace has his memorial nearby, too.
Wow. That really puts their significance into perspective, doesn't it? It all sets the stage for their, well, their linked but separate journeys.
Exactly. Their impact on how we see the world.
Okay, so let's dive into Wallace's early life. The sources suggest, maybe surprisingly, no obvious mental influences from his family.
Not in a direct, traceable way, it seems. But what clearly did develop was this incredible perseverance.
Right, and really diverse interests and just this strong determination.
And maybe his early experiences fostered that. I mean, he was in London at 14, exposed to Robert Owen's socialist ideas.
Huh, that's interesting. Quite different from Darwin leaving school because, well, he wasn't exactly thriving academically.
Totally different paths. You can almost see how those early environments might have, you know, subtly shaped how they saw things later on.
Yeah, you can. So Wallace starts out in land surveying with his brother William. Practical work.
But his real passion, it seems, came from something else entirely. Reading gardening papers.
Yeah, and getting particularly fascinated by orchids. The sheer variety, the adaptations.
You can see the seeds there, can't you? That curiosity about how things fit their environment. Honing that pattern recognition, even just looking at flowers.
Definitely. And then came a really pivotal moment. Meeting H.W. Bates in Leicester.
Ah, yes, Bates. That shared obsession with beetles and butterflies.
That was the spark, wasn't it? For their big Amazon adventure.
It really was. It shows how, you know, connecting with someone who shares that specific passion can just ignite major scientific exploration.
True. And even then, Wallace really looked up to Darwin.
He did. He read Darwin's journal from the Beagle Voyage.
I thought it was brilliant. Right. Even better than Humboldt's work, he apparently said.
Yeah, that early admiration is definitely a key thread to keep hold of as we go deeper.
Okay, so let's shift focus. The big idea.
Yeah.
Natural selection. How did Wallace arrive at it?
Well, his travels were absolutely fundamental. Extensive journeys, meticulous observations as a naturalist, a collector.
Especially his time in the Malay Archipelago, seeing the birds of paradise.
In their native forests. Imagine being there, surrounded by that just incredible biodiversity. It must have been electrifying.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And it's through really immersing himself, gathering all these facts about where animals live.
The geographical distribution, yeah. Across islands, different regions.
That he had this key realization. He felt these patterns, this data, wasn't being used properly.
Exactly. Not being used to answer the big question, how did species actually originate?
So that conviction led him to write that really important 1855 paper.
Right, the one for the Annals and Magazine of Natural History. And the core idea.
Every species has come into existence, coincident, both in time and space, with a pre-existing, closely allied species.
Such a crucial insight. He was already connecting the where species with the when and the how of their evolutionary relationships.
And the paper touched on so much, didn't it? Classification, geography, the fossil record.
Geological sequence, yeah. Even underlying anatomy, like, you know, the bone structures in different mammals.
It was remarkably comprehensive for an early stab at evolutionary thinking.
And yet it didn't exactly set the world on fire immediately.
No. The feedback was a bit muted. Some naturalists wanted more facts, less theory.
Yeah, his agent passed that along. But there was one very significant bit of feedback.
From Darwin himself.
A positive note, hinting that he was thinking along similar lines.
Which brings us neatly to their correspondence. It kicked off with Darwin appreciating Wallace's thinking on distribution.
Right. And early on, Darwin actually says he's working on similar stuff, but thinks his own work goes much further.
That initial contact is just fascinating. Two brilliant minds independently closing in on this huge idea.
Absolutely critical moment. And then the really big one, 1858. Wallace is in Ternate.
In the Malay Archipelago again.
And bam! He formulates his more complete theory of natural selection. Just think, this profound insight, basically emerging straight from his fieldwork.
It's incredible. Immersed in nature, and the idea crystallizes. And then, knowing Darwin had been thinking about it.
He does something remarkable.
He sends his manuscript straight to Darwin.
That single act tells you so much about Wallace's character, his integrity.
It really does. And that, of course, led to the joint paper at the Linnean Society, July 1858.
Yeah, that famous title. On the tendency of species to form varieties, and on the perpetuation of varieties and species by natural means of selection.
Captures it perfectly.
And that whole story, the joint publication, it's not just history trivia. It shows you the complex way science actually happens. Independent discovery, intellectual generosity, sometimes competition.
The social side of science. And Wallace, despite, you know, getting there independently at the same time,
he was consistently incredibly generous about Darwin's role.
Always acknowledging Darwin as the primary investigator.
Yeah.
Recognizing the decades of work Darwin had put in.
That magnanimity is just, well, it's a really admirable part of his legacy.
Definitely. Okay, so let's break down the core science here for you listening. What is Darwinian evolution at its heart?
Right. It boils down to three key things.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
First, there's variation. Individuals in a population differ.
Okay, variation. Got it.
Second, that variation has to be heritable. It gets passed down.
Inheritance makes sense.
And third, differential survival and reproduction, which is just...
natural selection itself, the mechanism. Traits that help you survive and reproduce become more common.
Precisely. And where does that initial variation actually come from?
Our sources point to mutation, right?
Yeah.
Random changes in the genetic code.
Exactly. Those random changes are the raw material. They create the differences.
And then natural selection acts on that pool of variation.
Yep. It favors the traits that give an edge in a particular environment at a particular time.
So those individuals are more likely to survive, have offspring.
You pass on those advantageous traits. Over generations, the population shifts.
Now, it's really important we clear something up here. The word theory.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. Causes a lot of confusion.
In everyday chat, theory can mean just a guess, right? A hunch.
But in science, a theory, like evolutionary theory, is totally different. It's a solid, well-supported explanation.
Built on mountains of evidence, tested again and again, from fossils, genetics, anatomy.
It's a framework, not just a guess. A vital distinction for you to understand.
And that helps address some common objections people raise, like irreducible complexity.
Right, the idea that some biological structures are just too complex to have evolved step by step.
But the science shows complex things can evolve incrementally. Each step offers some advantage, even if it's not the final form.
Think of eyes, for example. From simple light-sensitive spots to complex camera eyes, there's a whole plausible evolutionary pathway.
Another objection mentioned is the second law of thermodynamics. Evolution creates order, but doesn't that law say things tend towards disorder?
Ah, but the key there is closed system. Earth isn't closed.
It gets energy from the sun.
Constantly. That energy influx allows for local increases in order and complexity, like life itself. The overall entropy of the universe still increases, don't worry.
Okay, good to know. And it's also worth noting this perceived clash between religion and evolution.
It's not a given. Not at all. Our sources point out many key figures in evolutionary biology held diverse religious views.
And today, many religious groups actually support evolution education. They see it as compatible with their faith.
Absolutely. Science explains the how. Faith might address the why for some people. They don't necessarily conflict.
Right. Now, even while these huge theoretical ideas were developing, Wallace kept up his own major scientific work.
He did. His book, Geographical Distribution of Animals, he actually considered that his most important scientific work.
Interesting. Maybe that's where his unique perspective from all that travel really came through most strongly.
Could be. And he also wrote Darwinism.
Which sounds like it was defending Darwin, really.
Pretty much. Clarifying the theory, tackling misunderstandings, really cementing its importance. A testament to his commitment, even when boosting Darwin's overall framework.
So, they shared this massive discovery, reshaped biology.
Yeah.
But they didn't agree on everything.
No, definitely not. And the sources highlight some interesting points of divergence for you.
Like what?
Well, one was how much sexual selection shaped human races. Wallace was apparently more cautious than Darwin about attributing differences mainly to mate choice.
Okay, so nuances even within the main theory shows how science works, interpretation matters.
Exactly. And Wallace had this deep interest in mimicry, protective coloration.
Areas where his detailed observations in the field really shone.
Definitely made major contributions there.
And then there are his less conventional later interests, spiritualism.
Yeah, that often surprises people. He wrote about why he believed in it in Miracles and Modern Spiritualism, My Life.
It's a reminder, isn't it? Even the most rigorous scientists can explore things outside that standard framework.
It is a fascinating glimpse into the intellectual currents of the time, too.
And we shouldn't forget his social and political views either. He was quite outspoken.
Advocate for land nationalization, strong belief in social justice. He corresponded with people like Herbert Spencer about it.
Maybe seeing the world, different societies, fueled that concern for fairness?
Quite possibly. And another interesting late view life on other planets.
Oh, what did he think?
It seems he became more convinced that Earth might be pretty unique, at least for supporting intelligent life.
Huh. An evolving perspective, even late in life, it raises that question for you listening. How do scientists grapple with things beyond what we can test right now?
Good question.
So wrapping things up, Wallace's legacy is just huge.
Yeah.
Undeniably.
Co-discoverer of natural selection.
And you meant.
Whole menu.
And that generosity towards Darwin speaks volumes about him as a person.
Absolutely. Plus his wide-ranging intellect, that lifelong energy, still active in his garden in his later years, apparently, that same curiosity endured.
He really holds this significant, unique place in science history. Not just Darwin's also-ran, but a brilliant, original thinker in his own right.
Totally agree. This deep dive, looking at Wallace and Darwin, really highlights both the collaboration and the differences between these giants.
And their combined work just fundamentally changed how we understand life itself.
It did. Which leads us to a final thought for you to mull over.
Go on.
How does knowing this history, the collaborations, the independent flashes of insight, the disagreements, how does that change how you appreciate science today?
And maybe, are there parts of Wallace's less known work, biogeography, his social ideas that could actually offer valuable perspectives now in the 21st century?
Worth thinking about. And we'd really encourage you, if you're interested, to go deeper. Read Wallace's letters, Darwin's works.
You know, uncover more of those nuances, those aha moments for yourself.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner. So you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.